Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by Everbank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
This is Jaguars Postgame, the final score from Everbank Field in Week 3. Colts 44, Jaguars 17. Jags fall to 0-3. The Colts are 1-2. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and proud of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor is with us in studio. It could not start any worse today, Fred. 30-0 at the half. Nothing offensively. The Colts scored on every drive, but a little at least hope in the second half when you put the rookie quarterback in the game that turned the fans' reaction outside for sure. Couldn't get worse in the first half. Things looking up a bit in the second half.
I agree. Bortles was definitely the brightest spot, the brightest thing, the only positive, I think, throughout the day. Defense has to play better. You know, if we stand a chance, you know, if we're going to win any ball games, defense has to play much, much better. Offense has to help them. You know, third downs, I think we need to convert more. Defense is on the field too long. And that, I think, turns into fatigue. A lot of, guys are losing their discipline. You see a lot of broken coverages, a lot of missed tackles. So, and that equates to the other ball, you know, the other side scoring a lot of points on us. So, until we come together and get better as a group collectively, you'll see a lot of those losses.
Yeah, I understand the whole, you know, out on the field too long. 22 and a half minutes time of possession for the Indianapolis Colts in the first half, Fred. But still, right from the jump, this Indianapolis team, which is a good offense, but they're moving the ball right down the field. The Jags have gone through a period from halftime of week one to halftime of today where they are outscored 105-10.
Yeah.
Other than just the fatigue factor, which clearly plays a role, how shocked are you that we're seeing so many missed tackles, so many, just poor fits, it looks like, yeah. Mental errors, all these things right now?
It's shocked because, I mean, our coach, the head coach, his resume is defense. And when you have a defense that's playing that bad, it's a reflection of the coaches' staff, but more so the head coach because this is his background. And when you look at that defense in the preseason is preseason, don't get me wrong, but you thought that this was going to be, you know, the heartbeat of the team until the quarterbacks and the offense came around. But unfortunately, that hadn't been the case.
How do you fix that, Fred?
You just go back to the drawing board. And
well, they said that last week.
Yeah, you got to say it again until you get it right. It's no other way to go. I mean, the guys are – you can't go out and draft now. You know, no one's going to trade right now. So you have your group of guys, and they have good guys in there. You know, you go back as a staff and just, you know, maybe we have to simplify certain things, you know, take some packages out, you know, look at some other guys that, you know, if guys aren't hustling on the field, you know, I think you just put their backs against the wall, threaten some jobs and some livelihoods, and hopefully some guys will come out there and start making plays because that's what it is. They're not making plays. They're not tackling. They have guys hitting the backfield. They're not stopping them. So it's just going to come down to someone has to step up and make the play.
It's difficult to know what the interest level is of the Colts when they go into halftime at 30-0, right?
Sure,
but
it is.
But if you look at the positives, the Jags held them scoreless in the third quarter, only one offensive touchdown in the second half. The positives for the Jags, I think, Fred, today, in addition to Bortles, he helped make Allen Hurns made a play downfield,
yeah.
Broke a tackle, made a big play. Allen Robinson, starting to see him consistently pop up a little bit. And we didn't see a lot of big plays out of Cecil Shorts, but pretty savvy play there by Bortles to fake the spike and go to the quick slant to Cecil.
Let's go outside of the Jaguars' locker room. Jeff Lagerman has the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. And Gus, certainly didn't start the way you wanted to down at halftime, 30-0. Halftime, you make the switch. Talk us about that decision being made.
Well, I just felt like, I had good discussions with Chad over the weekend with Blake, like I mentioned before. And I think we talked about the possibility that somewhere down in the future, if we felt like we needed more movement with the ball offensively, that I felt like at this point in time, Blake's body of work, as far as practice, mentality, was in place. And I just felt like, using my instincts, it was time to now build the body of work on the field.
Now, making that switch, obviously, a guy that you committed to in Chad Henne, watching the game multiple times when Blake comes off the field, you could see him greeting Blake every time when he came off the field. I thought that was classy.
Well, I just, at halftime I talked to Chad, and my hat's off to him. Fierce competitor, believe in him, and, I can't say enough good things about Chad. And the way he handled it and the way he was on the field and how much he helped Blake, indescribable.
Is Blake Bortles your quarterback of the future starting next week and through the remainder of the season?
Yeah, he'll get the opportunity next week again. And that's my conversations with Chad, and he understands. And now, like we said, I think it's time to start building Blake's body of work on the field.
What's happened to the defense? First half, every possession that the Colts had, they scored.
Right.
You're a defensive coach, and I know that you expect more out of that side of the ball.
Sure do. I just challenged them. I know we challenged them last night, and we challenged them today. It feels like 9 or 10 guys are doing the right thing, and then when a player's number is called, we just miss the opportunity. And in really some really critical situations. And I challenge them. I think we've got to learn to, train to be clutch. We got to make those clutch plays when our number's called. And there's just too many opportunities that were there for us, and we didn't capitalize on them. And I know it's frustrating for the players and the coaches, and we just need to tighten those things up and still challenge the guys when they have those opportunities to make the plays.
Injury-wise, it didn't look like you really had any. Paul Posluszny came out. Looks like he had his ankle taped up. It looked like he came out of it pretty healthy.
Yeah, hopefully Puz is okay. But, I really challenged our guys. I thought in the second half, we need to compete. And, just seeing some plays out in the field and how they reacted to it, I felt like they did that. So we got to build off that. And we got to build off that. But it's not good enough. And but we'll get it right. We'll get it right starting tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Lagerman just outside of the Jaguars locker room with head coach Gus Bradley. When we come back, Jeff inside the locker room with Jags players after the Jags fall in week 3, 44-17 the final. We'll hear from Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey a little more coming up as well. More Jaguars postgame after these words on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. 44-17. The final score, Indianapolis over Jacksonville. At Geico, you have a choice of ways you could save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online at geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Jeff Lagerman in the Jaguars locker room with Red Bryant. Jeff.
All right, thank you, JP. Red, you guys defensively, certainly the challenge to play well with an offense that's struggling in the first half. You guys allowed the Colts to score on every possession. You guys have to be disappointed in that performance.
Very disappointed. Very disappointed. The Colts was able to do whatever they wanted to do at will. Felt like we couldn't cover. Felt like we couldn't tackle. We just got to get our house in order. It's easy to point the finger, look at other people, blame another guy. But, if you really want to be responsible and actually bring about change, you got to look at yourself. And we got to look at ourselves. And ain't no way around it. You can't win in this league if a team able to score every position.
At halftime, you guys make the switch from Chad Henne to Blake Bortles. Talk about that and how that impacts the team and the psyche.
It impacts the team just a little bit in terms of giving the franchise what everybody perceived to be the franchise quarterback in Blake. But it's hard because Chad doing the best he can under the circumstances. We as a team not protecting Chad. And I get you want to get an energy starter. And at some point you gotta move forward because whatever we're doing right now is not working. And I was excited for Blake. He got an opportunity to get some game experience. But at the same time, I was sad for Chad because – how it rolled downhill, and him being the leader, he's going to get the blunt of the disapproval. But we all played like we all didn't play well today.
Gus Bradley said that he's committed to Blake Bortles as the quarterback going forward. And offensively in the second half, he did some good things. Does that give you reason for encouragement, what you saw today? But also, you're going back to the preseason, what you saw out of Blake in the preseason.
I'm really excited for Blake. You know, I believe he has a bright future. I believe it's a great situation for him. I know Mr. Caldwell and Gus going to get the personnel they need to get around him to continue to build this thing. But defensively, we got to be better. You know, we got to be better. Like, what good does it do if he's able to put up points and we can't stop anybody? Or we always playing behind because teams got big leads and they able to just empty their playbook. And so we got a lot of work and a lot of soul searching. A lot of guys got to self-evaluate. What can I do to get better and help this team? And until we answer that question, it's going to be a rocket season.
All right, thank you, Red.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
There's Jeff Logman with Red Bryant. You know, I love Red. He just tells it like it is,
yeah.
and there's no hiding it at all with Red. And disappointment on defense. It's great to have a new quarterback, but as he said, doesn't matter if you're giving up 40 points.
No, he hit it right on the head, man. And you got to love his honesty. He said it, you got to point the finger at yourself. It starts with self-assessing. I'm excited for Blake. You know, as Red said, he has an opportunity. Things don't look too good. I mentioned a few times that I thought Chad played okay, you know, but you have to give him an opportunity, and that opportunity comes with every group playing well, offense, defense, special teams.
Red Bryant's a vet, Fred, won the Super Bowl last year, so did Chris Gomes. You never won a Super Bowl, but you were on very good teams, and then you had years where you had to think, how did they get like this? I mean,
yeah.
As a veteran like that, what do you go through when you're like, I know what it's supposed to look like? How do you, as a veteran, maybe impart some wisdom on some of these young guys that things can turn around?
There's been several seasons, I should say, that you know, I thought we had the guys, the makeup to do well, but unfortunately we didn't do well. So what you try and do is you go out there and just give it your all. Things aren't going to always look great, but it's week to week to week that you continue to try to build.
Back to the locker room. Jeff Logerman has Chad Henne. Jeff.
All right, hold on 1 second, JP. A little conversation going on between Chad and one of the coaches, so just hang tight.
To you, we'll get back to you in just a moment, Jeff. Jeff Logerman awaiting Chad Henne, who is speaking with the coaching staff in the locker room. Now let's go back. Jeff, you have Chad now. What's up?
All right, thank you, JP. Chad, Gus makes the switch, goes to Blake in the second half. Talk us through your thought process and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of discussed it last week, Gus and I, and, you know, whether it be this week, we weren't sure, but we knew at some point, you know, it may happen if we weren't getting things going, and, you know, it was good to have that talk prior, and I knew, you know, that it might happen, so, you know, I appreciate Gus, and I appreciate the opportunity, and, you know, just fighting for the guys.
I thought you handled it perfectly on the sideline. You were there to support him, greet him every time he came off the field.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the situation, even, you know, when they drafted him, so... my job is to be the best leader I can to him and help him out during the game and keep him at a calm level where he can go out and just play ball.
And Gus said that going forward, Blake's going to be the starter. You still wear a C on your chest. And how important is that to you to be that C captain of this football team?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a humbling opportunity when your peers vote you as a captain in the beginning of the year. And my job is to express that. And, you know, if I see things aren't going the right way, I'm going to step in and say it. And my job is, again, to help Blake out, help this offense out as much as I can, and still keep a high head about it.
All right. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
There's Jeff Logerman in the locker room with Chad Henne. Guys, it's time to choose an MVP of this game. How about you, Mike? What you got?
I'll go outside the box here, and I'll go number 5, the quarterback who came in. And, you know, I know that's probably a shocking
How
revelation.
How big is that
right
box, Mike?
There. I mean, look, you know, again, Chad's a pro, but he threw for 33 yards in the first half, and Blake came in and sparked this offense. He made some mistakes, had some interceptions, Fred, but 223 yards passing, drove the ball down the field, got the ball in the end zone a couple of times, and the one thing that salvaged the day, I think, for the Jaguar fans.
Yeah, I think I would agree. You got to go with Blake. Came in, stepped in there, Just played well. I thought he played well overall, showed his athleticism, you know, much like he did in the preseason, made some good throws, made some rookie throws, you know, a few underthrown, but still, I think he's the MVP for today's game.
14 of 24, 223 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, 82.5 rating in his NFL debut. Blake Bortles is the MVP of this game. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. When we return on Jaguars postgame, more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey, the Bud Light play of the game coming up, and more. 44-17, Colts over the Jags, the Blake Bortles era has begun on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beard Jewelry at the St. Johnstown Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score from Everbank Field in Week 3, Colts 44, Jags 17. Colts now 1-2. The Jags fall to 0-3. The Blake Bortles era has started. He played the entire second half today. And it's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game from Fred Taylor. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. We start with number one. Where do you start to turn around this defense?
On a chalkboard. Lightning fast. Plain okay. And simple. On
all
the
right,
chalkboard.
Mike, Fred, in the second half, we saw some signs of life in the running game. You expect that to continue to improve now that they've got some life in the passing game?
Yeah, they played better. And with a mobile and athletic quarterback in Bortles, I think you'll see the statistics a lot better in the run game. 5.33 a carry, so it was much better.
And finally, for Blake Bortles, let's nitpick him for a second. Where can he improve this coming week in San Diego?
He'll have an opportunity to realize that he is the guy going in, so the preparation will be big. So his preparation, just going out there and trusting his team and having the guys trust him. Just do what you've been doing. I don't say change anything.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. Let's go back to number one, chalkboard. You had a one-word answer.
Chalkboard.
But it's got to be deeper than just the chalkboard, right?
Yeah,
it's got to be the personnel executing the stuff on the chalkboard.
You know, we spoke about the guys been on the field a long time, and a lot of times fatigue sets in. Guys lose some discipline. You know, when you go to the chalkboard, you're talking about assignments. Gus even mentioned they'll have 9-10 guys on the page at the same time, and it'll be that one guy in a critical situation. They got to find a way to get that one guy to be part of the 11 and then make those plays. So I think it starts with the chalkboard, the assignments.
Is it somehow contagious? I mean, because it's not just the same one guy every time, right? I mean, you're seeing a series of these things, whether it's a missed gap in the run defense or guys running wide open in the secondary. Fred, how do you fit when it's more widespread? How much more daunting is that problem to fix?
When it's, as you mentioned, contagious, and it comes across as contagious, when several guys are messing up, they're taking their turns to mess up. What you want to do is get them back all in there at the chalkboard and find a way to hold them all accountable to each other. You know, as players, you look at each other and you say, I got your back, you got my back. Well, show me. Show me that you're in your playbook. Show me that, you know, down the hall, if I ask you a question, you know the answer without hesitation. So guys are going to have to find a way to hold each other accountable. So when you're out there on the field, it's not that one guy break down here or one guy break down there.
And as you said before, Fred, it's not like you can just go out and find guys on the street to come in. This is the team, and it's got to come from within somewhere.
Yeah, it has to come from within. And those guys, I do believe they trust each other. You know, I just think here, about to wrap up the first quarter of the season, they just got to find a way as a unit, that the coaches, the players, you know, find a way to just hold each other to a higher standard and a lot more accountability, and it starts tomorrow.
We saw Blake's escapability really help with pressure a little bit today, particularly that one where he's going to roll left and reverse field and came all the way back to the right.
Yeah.
But without Mercedes Lewis, Marcel Jensen, I thought, got pushed around today pass protection with both quarterbacks in there at various times. How big of a concern is it ongoing? Because, like you said, you can't just find a guy who can block to Mercedes' level coming off the street. Could Austin Pastor's return at right tackle maybe solidify things a little bit and help out?
You know what? The one thing that did stand out a lot today was that the guys up front, they didn't get a lot of push at all. Whether it be the pass game, sustaining a nice pocket for the quarterback, or even in the run game. If you notice in the slash plays to the outside, guys were 2-3 yards in the backfield. That doesn't allow for the back to make that outside bounce or even a downhill cut. So in securing the edge, that's something that we are going to miss, that Mercedes isn't here. Yet you still got to pound away at it. There's no other way around it. You want to try and stick with the run. But as athletic as Bortles is, I think it saves us and helps the guys up front. So,
call 1-800-XFINITY and ask how you can get started with Xfinity Internet for $19.99 a month for 12 months. There's no term contract and no early termination fee. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Offer ends 9/30/14. Restrictions apply. When we return on Jaguars postgame, the highlights. Yes, there were some finally in the second half of this game, including the Bud Light play of the game. We'll have a final Everbank stats check coming up a little later. 44-17, the final. Colts over the Jaguars, and more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. The final score at Everbank Field, 44-17. Colts over the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Highlights coming up. But one note coming out of the Gus Bradley postgame press conference, a little different. Owner Shad Khan and GM Dave Caldwell are in the back of the press conference. Not going to talk, it seems like, but their presence in the room says something, Fred, huh?
Hey, when the big dog is in the room, you know it's business. It's the business of Blake Bortles right now. You know, everyone has to know this is it. We're here. The future is here is now. And we're all adamant. So I would assume this is the reason that they're in the room.
You would think so, right? We saw some reporting by Jessica Blaylock that on the elevator, Shad Khan was asked, how's he feeling? He said, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit better. I've seen the future. So I think that's probably pretty accurate that's why he's in there.
Well, before we get to the future, let's look at the past. The highlights from today's game, including the Bud Light play of the game. It was all in the early 12-play drive. Vinatieri hit a 48-yard field goal, made it 3-0, but the Jags offense, 3-and-out, gave it back up. 9 plays, 69 yards. Luck found Bradshaw for a 6-yard touchdown to make it 10-0.
Bradshaw now in the game as a running back. A 4-man front for Jacksonville. Straight drop. Looks to the right. Dumps it to Bradshaw. He's got it. That's going to be a touchdown for the Colts.
You knew
he
it was
dumped
coming.
It right there. Yes, you did. He dumped it to Bradshaw. And Indianapolis is in the end zone.
10-0. Colts in front. Jags go 3-and-out again. Ensuing drive. 7 plays, 76 yards. Luck to Allen for a yard score.
High formation. Bradshaw is the running back. Play fake. Rolling right. Allen the tight end wide open. That's going to be a touchdown. That was pretty easy, too. Touchdown, Colts. It's about to be 17-0.
Yes, it was, and the Jags went 3-and-out for a third straight time. Gave it up to Indy again. Fleener dropped a touchdown pass in this drive, and Terry hit a field goal from 43, made it 20-0. Next drive, 23-0 after a 25-yard field goal for Vinatieri. The Jags had a completion to Mike Brown. He fumbled it away, though. Set up Indy short with just about a minute to go in the first half. Luck found Fleener with a 7-yard score before halftime.
Straight drop. Andrew looking. Now he's going to have to run out of there. Scrambles, fires it. He found a receiver wide open. Kobe Fleener fell into the end zone. Nobody near him. The Colts have scored again with 28 seconds to play in the half.
Yes, they did. 30-0 the halftime score. All Indy. They scored on every drive of the half. 6 drives, 6 scores for Indianapolis. The Jags cannot get anything done offensively. But then the change at quarterback. Blake Bortles entered the game, moved the ball down the field. The Jags did have to punt away. The Jags D forced a punt for the first time. Scobie hit a 41-yard field goal, got him on the board after another drive for Bortles. It was 30-3. A couple of drives later, after Avante Davis' interception, it set up Indianapolis. 10 plays, 64 yards later, Luck found Nix for a 1-yard touchdown to make it 37-3.
Third goal from the one. Tyson Alualu late getting out there now.
They got to use a timeout.
Now they're throwing him off, and I think Gus is going to burn a timeout. No, he won't. They snap it in. Flags fly everywhere. It's going to be a touchdown. They threw a little slant. Boy, the Jaguars should have used a timeout. They were confused.
That kind of summed up the day for the Jaguars' defense there. Just some miscommunication. Too many guys running on and off the field. The touchdown made it 37-3. But then, the Bud Light play of the game is brought to you by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Plenty of good times ahead. Bortles hits Allen Hurns for a 63-yard touchdown.
Two receivers to either side, plus a tight end. Straight drop. Fires to the middle of the field. That's Hurns. He makes a catch in the Colts territory. Fuller's feet. Allen Hurns is loose. Allen Hurns is inside the 20-yard line. He got away. Allen Hurns is going to score a touchdown for the Jaguars. He broke a few tackles and got it to the end zone. How do you like that?
That's the future. The last two plays. Blake Bortles to Allen Robinson, and then Blake Bortles to Allen Hurns. That is the future.
63-yard score made it 37-10, but rookie quarterback throws an interception on the next drive. Toller with a 47-yard return for a score.
Three receivers left. Here we go. Straight drop. Play fake. He gets away from a rush. Good move. Good mobility. Now he throws it down to the middle of the field. That's intercepted. Did not see Toller, and he threw it to him, and Toller picked it off, and he's got room to run to the 25-yard line. Still on his feet. Toller's going to make turn this into a pick six. Blake never saw him, threw it out to the right side. Toller picked it off, his second interception in as many weeks, and that's going to be a touchdown.
Let's finish on a good note, shall we? Bortles, on the ensuing drive, drove him down the field again. Clock moving, fake spike for a touchdown.
26 seconds. Blake Bortles is going to go up there and just spike it. He faked the spike. Now he's going to throw it to Cecil Short, the diving catch. That's a touchdown for the Jaguars. He faked the spike and threw a little slant to Cecil Short, and another touchdown pass for Blake Bortles.
Dan Marino is proud. The score is 44-17. The final at Everbank Field. The Colts are now 1-2. The Jags fall to 0-3. When we come back, Everbank stats check for the final time today. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. 44-17 is the final. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars postgame continues, 44-17, Colts over the Jags. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor is with us, of course. It's time for an Everbank final stats check of this game. Where do you want to start, Fred? You want to start team here?
Let's do team.
Okay, total first downs, Colts 27-18. Yardage, 529-344. Of course, most of those in the second half. What, they had 55 at halftime, Mike, is that right, Jags?
55 total yards at half, yep.
So a big turnaround in the second half. We really should break this down because first half was just a miserable, miserable statistical half for this Jaguars
team. What changed?
Team. The quarterback, right? Yeah, funny how that works. Can that make that much of a difference, Fred?
You know what? You've heard some people say, well, the game, it was a blowout. He came in late. The Colts really weren't playing it well. No, the Colts, much like the other night, the Thursday night game, when Tampa took that shellacking, Atlanta didn't let up. You know, I don't think the Colts were in the business of letting up. I think the rookie actually went out there and played well. And statistically, it showed. So some big plays down there. We want to see a lot of that. So I think that does make a big difference.
Blake, 14-24, 223 yards, couple of touchdowns. He also had the interceptions, but he's going to make some mistakes, Fred. We know that. He gave some plays. He gave 6 points, obviously, in the Toller return, and Vontae Davis just made a nice play on a kind of a one-on-one situation up the left sideline. But I think what he gives you more than makes up for it right now. And those mistakes will lessen as time goes on. You're going to live with them. You're going to have to, though.
Yeah.
For all the Jag fans that have been clamoring for it, expect him to have his growing pains.
Yeah, he's going to have those growing pains, but pains. If you look, every Jaguar fan maybe can relate to this. We've seen Peyton Manning for years and years, and I don't want to go above myself and make that comparison. But the comparison I'm trying to make is, if you're going to be a great one in this league, those passes have to be over the outstretched hands of the defenders, meaning they barely have to get a past those defenders, and that's the way he's been throwing the ball, where those passes look like they're going to be picked off, and they're not picked off. It's either an interception that you have to live with and trust yourself and continue to be confident, or you're going to make that completion that's going to eventually be a big play and put points on the board.
the willingness to stick it in there and try to make that play. He had
exactly.
that. And you look at the two main targets today. Allen Hurts had the big individual play,
yeah.
but Allen Robinson was targeted 10 times. Cecil was as well in this game, but Robinson from the very beginning, I think we see him baby steps starting to emerge, and he's the different guy. You've got all these guys in cut kind of in Cecil's mold. I know Hurts is a little bit bigger, but Robinson just has that massive size, and he has the speed, it appears, to get down the field as well.
He's starting to catch up in his reps. You know, missed the entire preseason, and now we're three games in. He's finally getting some opportunity. You can clearly see that the kid is going to be a playmaker. Big body. You know, they tossed it up there to him a few times, 10 targets. So he's going to bring a lot of those down as the season goes. So I'm looking forward to watching that growth.
Running game today, Fred. Denard Robinson, 8 carries, 33 yards, long of 10. It's 4.1 per carry. Gerhardt, 9 of 32. 13-yard was his long today. Bortles had a couple. One of those, I think, was designed on the keeper.
Nobody yeah. home on that one.
right. Yeah. Yeah. But in general, you take away the Bortles 20-yarder and a little better, at least in the second half, running the ball.
Yeah, you know what? And what you're going to continue to see, based on the fact that Bortles is very athletic and he can get outside the pocket, we're going to design a lot of plays where he's on the move. So what happens is that backside defensive end, he has to be honest now. He has to run up to the quarterback. So there, he's not going to just run down the line. So that downhill cut should open up a lot more. And even that backdoor cut where you can have a more athletic back in Denard Robinson make that jump cut backdoor. And for me, there are always 20-yard gains every time.
In your experience, it's chicken and egg here for me. What is it? Does the running game open up that backdoor kind of bootleg for Blake Bortles, or is it the passing game in today's NFL that's going to open up the run for you?
You know what? It's really, I think, what the defensive coordinator wants to call that assignment that he's going to give that backside defensive end based on how dangerous the quarterback is when he's outside the pocket or how dangerous the slash away from him is. So if the slash away is a little bit more successful, what the defensive coordinator is going to do is say, look, I need you to go down the line of scrimmage. Forget about that quarterback. Go down the line and stop the running back. We don't need them to get that type of momentum going.
When we come back on Jaguars postgame, we'll look around the National Football League in week three. Some really tight games early. The 4 o'clock games are underway. A little later, the Baptist Health injury report as well. 44-17, Colts over the Jags. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. 44-17, Colts over the Jags. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor with us. Before we get to some scores, guys, Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times-Union here in Jacksonville reporting that Bortles said in the postgame press conference that he was, quote, average. You can't throw two picks and a half, end quote, which is, you know,
I agree.
What you expect.
Yeah.
But also of the defensive performance, Gus Bradley said he has not considered taking over play calling. That was asked of Gus Bradley in the press conference. You got to look at everything, whether it's playing, whether it's the chalkboard or who's calling the plays, too. Everything's on the table right now, right?
Obviously, it has to be. I mean, Gus is the leader of the team. He's the head coach. He has certain calls to make. Everybody has to buckle down, and everyone has to be held accountable from all of the play callers, all of the players, the equipment room. You're searching. You want to make sure that everybody's on the boat.
The equipment room. So Jimmy Luck's in trouble.
Hey, listen. They got to make sure everything is tight.
I know that. Fred, what unit is giving you the most trouble right now defensively? Is it the front four? Is it the linebacking core? Is it the secondary?
I want to just put them all in there together, man. It's
nobody's standing
out. The front four is getting pressure. You know, you can see the quarterback shuffling, moving around. And then when those guys get pressure, it seems like there's a glitch or a breakdown in the secondary. And at times when the secondary is back there covering fairly decent, you know, it's no pressure. You know, so for me, it's a combination of the group. So they all have to be held accountable.
Let's look at some scores around the National Football League. Early games are all final now. Chargers beat the Bills 22-10. Chargers are now 2-1. They'll welcome the Jags next week. Cowboys beat the Rams 34-31. That was a tight game. What a comeback for the Cowboys today in the win in St. Louis. Great game in Philly. Eagles are now 3-0. They beat the Redskins 37-34. Giants over the Texans 30-17. Rashad Jennings, 176 yards on the ground today. Former Jaguar running back.
Big
day for him. Saints 20, Vikings 9. First win of the season for the New Orleans Saints. The Bengals, Dalton caught a touchdown pass today. And the Bengals are now 3-0. They beat the Titans 33-7. The Ravens rally in the fourth, beat the Browns 23-21. Lions over the Packers 19-7 final. And the Patriots held on, didn't have a great day offensively, 16-9 the final score. They beat the Raiders. Some games active now in the NFL. Midway through the second quarter, 49ers lead the Cardinals 7-6. Late first quarter, Broncos 3, Seahawks 3 in a rematch of last year's Super Bowl. Chiefs, Dolphins, no score in Miami late first quarter. And of course, the night game tonight, Steelers at the Panthers. When we come back, the Baptist Health Injury Report. More with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey as well. The final score at Everbank Field, Colts 44 and Jaguars 17. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues, a 44-17 final at Everbank Field. Colts over the Jaguars. Colts are 1-2. Jags fall to 0-3. The Blake Bortles era has begun. Gus Bradley announced exclusively on our show, actually, we had the first word with the head coach, that he will be the starting quarterback moving forward. And that's what you expect after you make a big change like that in the second half. The quarterback threw two touchdowns, had a couple of picks today, too. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Time for the Baptist Health System Injury Report, changing health care for good. Not much new today. Pozlesny limped off for a bit, came back, played the rest of the game. Looked like a lower leg injury of some kind. We didn't get the official word. Guy left with some cramps, came back a little later. But other than that, I don't remember, Fred, anything too major today, which is good.
You know, the good thing is we got out fairly healthy, and the guys that returned, you know, they look fairly good out there, so that's another positive, I guess.
Yeah, Cecil Shorts III got through the game today, and that was, if you had asked him a week ago, he didn't play. He hasn't played yet, but that's good. Got to play the whole game and played a full game.
And really, Toby Gerhart, as the game went on, too, I thought looked fine. You know, he had a couple of those runs for it. Didn't look like his ankle was really affecting him. So you wonder now if things start to loosen up a little bit, maybe you know, we'll start to see a few more explosive runs out of him as well.
You know, I think as long as we get some push up front and he can get a head of steam going downhill, that's when he's most effective. And you notice he pushed the pocket 4 yards here, 5 yards here, there. He's not the jump cut specialist. He's not the cutback specialist. You know, he is what he is. He's a big guy that needs to get going in order to be what he is, and that's to be a bulldozer.
What do you make of Denard Robinson today, Fred?
I thought he was shifty. I thought he ran well with the amount of carries he was given. Saw some jump cuts, saw some quick flashes. He was fast to the outside. Wanted to be able to see him hit him up between the tackles a little bit more and become more of a dual threat. I've seen a lot of design plays outside, but hopefully they'll open up the playbook and we can all see the running game get better as the season goes.
Well, last week, 7 carries for Toby Gerhart, none for Denard Robinson. This week, he only had the ball for 8.5 minutes in the first half. So the fact that they were able to run as many running plays today was just a good thing, I think.
Yeah, we got to be able to convert some of those third downs, sustain some drives, give ourselves an opportunity to call more offensive plays, definitely run plays, which also open up other plays, you know, the play actions, the rollouts, this and that. So, and until we convert third down, we're going to have very limited playbook.
4 out of 10 in that category today as well.
When we come back on Jaguars postgame final segment with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll preview the Jaguars and the San Diego Chargers.
The future.
The future is coming up.
I'm thinking of a nickname, man. What do you call it?
You've got a break to figure it out, Fred. We'll be back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. The unhappy final at Everbank Field, 44-17. Colts over the Jags. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. We've talked about defense all show, that you just have to go back to the board and figure that out. Okay, we know what that is. It is what it is. Offensively, the future is here. And Blake Bortles will be the starting quarterback this week in San Diego and moving forward for this team. You were trying to think of a nickname during the break, Fred. What'd you figure out?
You know, I like the future. I just like the way it rolls off. Yet, I'm not sure if the fans would like that. They've been waiting long enough. Then we talk about being in the moment. I don't know. You guys said B2 Bomber.
B2 Bomber is fairly popular with Jaguar Twitter.
We want to see him drop the bombs on a few
We
squad
definitely
want to
see that. You got the two B's in his name, so it makes a little bit of sense. So
I don't know. Maybe we have to get the fans to vote.
Okay. I'm sure they will.
I like the future the way it sounds, but I want it now, though.
I don't think it's the nickname, but it's what Shad Khan told you in the pregame.
Yeah.
You said hope is what now he thinks fans see. They see hope. They see the future. He said he saw the future. I think that's what they're going to come out of this game, that, yeah, all right, they're 0-3. Ultimately, weren't really competitive today, but now there's a hope that things are going to get brighter and hopefully quickly.
Hope can get you elected president. Hey, I think it works here. It works in my book.
So the San Diego Chargers are now 2-1 after a win in Buffalo. They handed the Bills their first loss today. Phillip Rivers is about as competitive as it gets. He's a guy you really want on your side, and he can lead that Chargers team well. They're 2-1 and playing some good football right now, Fred.
Yeah, you know, Phillip came came in the NFL with all that adversity. He in the Eli Manning stuff and all of that craziness. But he's been a guy who's persevered, man. He, you know, he's taking his hits, and whether people like him or not like him, but he stands up in there. He's definitely a tough son of a gun. And, you know, last week you saw the performance where he played well, and Gates looked like, you know, he looks that he's back to form. So they're going to be tough. I thought Buffalo had a chance today, but obviously I was wrong.
Well, and they could be undefeated too, because they lost that Monday night opener, I think by a point to Arizona.
Yeah.
So, you know, playing as well as they did against what clearly up until then had been considered the best team in football in Seattle, and maybe still is, was pretty eye-opening last week. And the Jags, look, historically have not fared well, but this team's so young. How many of these guys know anything about that history? Yeah. Who
young
cares
and
what
spry,
happened in the past?
They can travel three time zones and do it, right, Fred?
Just let it go, man. That's going to be a test. All of the young guys that are out there, 10 new starters on offense, the rookies that are out there, they don't know any better. You know, just turn them loose, man, and the results are going to be what they're going to be. So you go out there, you know, find a way to try and get some excitement going in the locker room, you know, get the fans behind you. Just throw it all out there.
Fred Taylor, well done. Always a pleasure to see you. We will we'll talk to you on the phone next week.
The future. See,
the near future.
There's a lot of psychics in this room, man.
And hope can get you elected. That's what
hope
we learned.
Hope will get you elected.
We've seen that happen.
Fred, well done. We'll talk
hope
to you next week.
Hope can get us a couple more wins this year, too.
It's a marathon, that's for sure. A lot of football left to be played.
Yes,
Fred
sir.
Taylor, Mike Dempsey, the kickoff next week at 4:05 Eastern. They're playing in San Diego. We'll be on the air at 1 o'clock with the Publix Tailgate Show, 3 o'clock with Countdown to Kickoff, the Jags and the Chargers. VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio is Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato have been our producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, and Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good afternoon. The final score, Colts 44, Jaguars 17, but the Bortles era is here. We'll see you next week on the Jaguars Radio Network.